And we thank you for your spirit that is here with us. We thank you, God, that we can come out of the storms of life and gather with other people and just be refreshed, get our batteries recharged, and get a heavenly focus after a week of worldly focus. So we pray that your Holy Spirit would come into this audience and begin moving in each individual heart. As we continue our study about the Holy Spirit, we know that only He can teach us. So we pray that He will unleash gifts to the body of Christ. He'll open eyes that people begin seeing things and finding answers to puzzles that they've had in their hearts for a long time. And they'll start hearing His soft, gentle, sweet voice. So we pray now that you would just be glorified by our gathering together in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and please turn to the 15th chapter of John. You know, if ever there was a time that we needed the Holy Spirit, it's definitely now. With all the shootings that happened this week around the country, and the law enforcement authorities are expecting more wild and crazy things happening, we need what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So this is part two of a series we're doing on falling in love with the Holy Spirit. And last week we saw that the Holy Spirit is the one that allows us to abide in Christ and bear forth spiritual fruit. And without Him, Jesus said, without the Lord in our lives, we can do nothing. So we don't want to be good for nothing. We want to be people that are producing fruit. And it's the Holy Spirit. Now, He's in the room right now. I have great confidence He's in the room. Every time I stand up to speak with you, I already know He's here. And He has a purpose. And we're going to look at the purpose of the Holy Spirit and where He comes from. But here's my goal and my prayer that it has been, as I've studied and prayed for you this week, is that the Lord would open your eyes today, some of you, and you would see the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And maybe you will see sometimes, I bet that was the Spirit. And you'll see that He's real. He's invisible. Yes, He is invisible, but He is very real. And He wants to work. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times we think of miracle working power or power in general. And we forget the fact that He's gentle also, and that He brings things from God to you. So that's what you want to learn. You want to learn to hear His voice. You want to learn to feel His tug. You want to go left when He says go left, go right when He says go right. You want to stop when He says stop. And you want to back up if He says back up, and you want to go forward. And His voice is a small, still voice. But the more you get to know Him as a person, it's just cool. I've seen Him at times work where it's like a light comes on. And the light is just shining in a room. And it's picking things out. And it's like your gift is able to go help somebody out of a large crowd. And maybe just one person. Or you can hear things that other people aren't hearing. And you're able to make decisions. So as we look at his purpose today, you can start underlining and circling in your Bible and take these home with you. And then start looking at the things that phone call. That was weird. That was really weird. Well, maybe it wasn't really weird. Did you hear that on the television set? I was driving down the freeway one time from San Diego to Lancaster, California. And I was going to school. I was working on a master's degree. And so I'd do three services on Sunday, 7 o'clock in the morning, drive all the way out to Skyline Wesleyan, where an extension of Azusa Pacific University's graduate school was. I'd start at 8, end at noon, and then drive all the way to Lancaster and get there by 3:30 or 4. The class there started at 5 and went till 9 at night. And I was trying to get as many units as I could so I could get through my graduate studies really quickly. And I was taking like 18 units or something. So I would spend 3 days out of the week, 2.5 days, just at school. Then I'd leave there and I'd drive from at 9 o'clock at night to Azusa, get a $24 a night hotel room, wake up at 7 and study till noon, and then I'd go to class at 1 till 5. And then I'd drive back to San Diego, and then I'd do everything I do here. And there was a man that was hostage in Beirut. And he happened to be a Christian man, very well-known man, that was taken by some quote-unquote terrorists. And I had some friends that they knew me, but I didn't know them. And they called me and said, you helped in other situations. Would you help get this man released? And I said, absolutely not. They said, no, you've got to help. You're a Christian, and you've helped other people get out of the Soviet Union and places. And I said, no, I don't like that stuff. It's scary. It's spooky. And no, thank you. So I'm driving along, and in my mind, because I have a weird mind, I started thinking, what would be a Christian commando deal if I were going to get into Beirut and find the house and get in there and snatch this guy and run? And so I was just trying to kill time in my head. So I came up with this whole plan, and I got to Santa Ana. And just then I thought, that's strange. Why am I? I've wasted an hour and a half of thinking of this commando, get this guy out. On the radio, KNX, CBS, there was an article about an Israeli helicopter that was shot down. The two pilots were being held captive. And the announcer says, they are looking for a third party that is neutral to negotiate the release of these two pilots. And I thought, that's strange. First thing I thought was, that's strange. They wouldn't make that public news. And besides that, there's hundreds of neutral negotiators that can be called on. It'd be secret. You wouldn't even know who they were or what they were doing. That's strange. I'm driving along, and it says, the radio says, and they are looking for a special negotiator, independent, neutral person to negotiate. And I said, what? I actually looked in the radio and said, what? You don't say these things in public. So I said, God, is this you? And I pulled off the road, went into a coffee shop, got a legal pad out and said, if this were God, bang, 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 bang. And I did a page of 30-some things that would have to line up to know that it was God. Well, after meeting with the Syrians and meeting with the Israelis and meeting with the French and meeting with the Vatican and meeting with da-da-da-da-da and traveling around the world, it, I think the Holy Spirit spoke. Well, the guy did get out on a Sunday morning. I drove into the parking lot and the same radio station said, hostage so-and-so was mysteriously released this morning. Now, I didn't release him, but I was part of the international team that didn't even know each other that was out doing something. I want you to be able to turn on the radio and hear the Lord. It's a fun thing. It really is. And I got an A in that class, by the way. Chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 26. And then we're going to look at chapter 16, verse 7 and 5. So let's look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So I'd like you to underline a couple of things here. I will send. Underline, this is important, from the Father and the Spirit of truth. And his name you can circle, Comforter, the Comforter. I think that's very important for us. Now let's go to the next chapter, the 16th chapter, and let's look at verse 7 in chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you, this is Jesus speaking, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father has sent, that the Father has, are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. Again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. In our first lesson, we looked at the power of the Holy Spirit to help us abide in Jesus Christ. And that's why you struggle and I struggle with our own problems and our own issues, but we struggle when we hear somebody say they're a Christian and then they live so horribly, and you say, how could that person truly be a Christian? Well, because they're not abiding in him. There's only one way we can abide in him, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us the ability to even be a Christian. We can't be a Christian. We can't work at being a Christian. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations that I'm doing all these, therefore I'm a Christian. It's His Spirit within us. So in this lesson, we wish to understand His power and the person of the Holy Spirit. He's a real person. In light of His mission and purpose, and Jesus gave us His mission and His purpose. And according to Jesus, this person called the Holy Spirit is sent to us with purpose and reason and can give us purpose and reason. Now, I like what he said, first of all, in verse 26 of the 15th chapter, that he called him the Comforter. I think that's great, the Comforter, because it's a very key word, and it's a word that has stuck with me all my Christian walk, that it forces me to lean on him. And if ever there was a time that we needed a comforter in our country, it is right now. Without a doubt, it's right now. If ever there was a time in finances, in future planning for your medical health or your retirement, or what the future holds, boy, it's a comforter right now. If ever there was a time, and I thank the Lord that my time has passed, to raise teenagers, boy, you need a comforter. If there's ever a time to be a teenager, you teenagers need a comforter, to say the least. You need someone that'll come along and encourage you and lift you up and strengthen you. Now, we can make all sorts of mistakes, and if people beat us up because of those mistakes, there's no way that we'll ever recover probably properly. But if people love us and care for us, those mistakes can be turned into something good to make us stronger and healthier people. They're big mistakes, little mistakes. I was reading earlier this week, some church magazine with these mistakes that a secretary or whoever volunteers in their church to do the bulletin. You know, it's if you have a congregation and it's really small and you just misspell a word or you juxtapose a word and it's wrong, you know, everybody knows you and who you are. If it's a large church, then more people say, well, there's a adult somewhere hanging out and can't spell or whatever. And I thought there's two or three here that, boy, if this person ever needed, these people that did their bulletins ever needed a comforter. One announcement in a Sunday bulletin was, low self-esteem support group will meet Thursdays at 7 p.m. Please use the back door. Or this one, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. You know, wouldn't you feel kind of out of it a little bit if that was you and everybody knew you're the one that wrote that? Or I like this one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from South Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from South Africa. That'd be a little embarrassing, you know. Definitely need a comforter. So verse 26 is a verse that you want to memorize. It'll help you in all sorts of situations. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now the word starts out, that verse starts out with the word but. But refers back to verse 18. All the way to 25. So verse 18 to 25 has a solution to it. It's verse 26. So if we looked at verse 18, we would very quickly see how important this is that the Comforter is going to come. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. And he that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man had done, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. They hate God, haters of God. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause, without a reason. They hated him. But when the Comforter has come, so there's the solution to this hate, this anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God doctrine that is out there. It's right there. The but is the Comforter has come. And Jesus is going to send him to us. The Comforter. This is very important for all of us both to know and to understand the thought of the Comforter. The first mention here in John's Gospel is the Comforter. It's not the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He doesn't call him the miracle worker, the one with all the power. He calls him the Comforter. And this is something we all need, a Comforter. We need somebody that can comfort us in the deepest areas of our souls that people can't see. There are areas that you haven't ventured into for a long time, and only God's Spirit can comfort those areas and release you from those areas. Now, the word is a very important word. And when I was a brand new Christian, I heard, I thought that's a novel word. The word in the original language is parakletos or paraclete. I always think of some shoes with the paracletes on them. And I've always memorized that, paracletes. And when I'm in need of some help from the Holy Ghost, I think paraclete, yes, comforter, you're going to comfort me. I need comfort right now. I'm down, Lord, please, paraclete. And a paraclete means summoned, called to one side, especially called to one's aid. Here comes his mission to you. He's called to your side. He's not going to grab you by the shirt and tug you. He's not going to force you to do what is right and be good. He comes alongside you and helps you to be the person that you can't be. He's going to aid you in every situation you can ever imagine. Holy Spirit, I need your assistance right now. So that's what their word paraclete or parakletos meant, summoned. So he called, come here, help, come beside. Also means one who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, the counsel for the defense, the legal assistant, or an advocate. So this is why you and I don't need to defend ourselves, right or wrong. Would you plead to the Father on my behalf? He stops what's going on and intercedes in the spiritual realm for you. Boy, you need somebody like that. Because we've been trained, we got to fight back. But Jesus said, no, you turn your cheek. You walk the extra mile. Want your shirt? Give him your cloak also. It's our nature to have to defend ourselves and to speak up for ourselves. But it's the spiritual side of us that says, I need an advocate with the Father. And the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus, and Jesus is my great intercessor, and he will be my advocate, but the Spirit is going to plead the cause. One who pleads another cause with one, he's an intercessor. Now you have a power available to you that is silent, that nobody else can see. And you may be negotiating over the biggest business deal in town. You may be trying to see if the doctor has the ability to perform what needs to be done with your loved one. But the Holy Spirit is there, and you can just rely that he's going to get the best job done for you in every situation. And to be able to call on him and say, give me peace. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. To go beyond your human nature, to be able to let heaven really interact in your life, is something that only God can do through you. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to shove at it. You don't have to be Miss Goody Two-Shoes. You don't have to be the Christian man, because you can't. And that's why so many people get frustrated. They think they've signed up for a religion. No, it's your eternal relationship. It's just preparation for the day you leave this body and go to heaven. And you just step out of this into the next one. It's just another scene. But you're going to be the same person because you've been growing in the Lord. How wonderful to know that he's here right now, and some of you suffer physically. But to know that God is working on your behalf in the midst of this. Some of you emotionally are really struggling with family issues and family problems, and they're overwearing on you and overbearing on you. They're pushing you down, and you just don't know what to say or what to do. Well, that's where he does the best work. It's when we come to the end of ourselves that God has given us his Spirit to go beyond what we can go beyond. And the sooner we quit struggling with him, the quicker this Comforter can come in and do his job. So this paraclete, I always like to think, you know, a little tap dancing. Just a paraclete, got a paraclete. And oh, the Holy Spirit, I need him. And so in the widest sense, this word means a helper, an aider, or an assistant. He's not pushing on you. He wants to assist you to prosper and to have a happy life. Now, I wanted to point out Four more things here in that verse. Number one, Jesus sends the Comforter. He's the one that sends him. Number two, Jesus sends him from the Father. The Father releases him, but the Spirit comes because Jesus sent him. Number three, look what he said there. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, don't you find that interesting? Because we saw in the 14th chapter that Jesus said, I am the truth. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth, which means we can't be Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus, who is truth in us, now becomes the Spirit of truth that flows from us. Now, truth, I think, is a two-way street. We may have learned in philosophy class or some course or just in talking with mom and dad when we're little and we get spanked for lying, for instance, that truth is a two-way street, not a one-way street. We think that I'm going to tell the truth or I'm going to lie. But truth, when it goes out from your life, I think turns on that light that you can see if the other side is being truthful. Truth is powerful. I think it just fills up everything around you and you can see, we don't need to do this. Why not? I don't know. I just feel inside myself that there's a problem here. And that's a great time to say, Holy Spirit, is this you? Yeah, because his interests for you are God's interests. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to make a bad mistake. He is willing to intercede at any time in your life and to help you do what needs to be done and what is necessary for you. So he is the Spirit of truth. You may want to underline that. And it's that Spirit that is in you that brings the truth. That's when bells go off and flags wave when you know that somebody's not telling you the truth. And that's why when you're involved in situations, you just say, this is not right. Because truth says that wisdom from above is first peaceable. If this is really from God and it's true, why do I not feel peace? And then it's pure. It's not foggy. It's not questionable. What's really going on? And then it's gentle. And then it's easy to be entreated. Somebody's not pushing on you. Boy, if you don't get it done in the next 6 hours, you lose the deal. That's the time to back away from the deal. Because he doesn't push. He doesn't shove. There's not one scripture in the Bible that shows Jesus running to his next meeting. He's just casually walking along and showing up where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there. So he is the Spirit of truth, but proceeding from the Father, he testifies of Jesus. So what does the Holy Spirit do? When you hear about Jesus, he's there endorsing everything about Jesus. That's why wonderful things can happen when people proclaim the name of Jesus. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, all men will be drawn unto me because the Holy Spirit's at work. And if a church lifts up Jesus, if a family lifts up Jesus, if children lift up Jesus, if education lifts up Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who can't be seen, endorses that and amplifies heaven in that situation. Now let's go to the 16th chapter here and let's look at verse 7, a couple of things that are there. You know, the Holy Spirit, we are told, it's expedient for Jesus to go. Expedient. And I've always wondered, why in the world would it be expedient? Then I began learning more about him. Why should it be expedient for Jesus to leave? Wouldn't it have been great to have him here all these centuries? But if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. So he had to leave. Now, this word expedient means profitable. Very profitable for us that he leaves the planet so the Spirit can come and do some great work for us. Dr. Michael Blanchard in Encinitas has a medical health newsletter he sends out, and I get it every month. And he quoted a doctor in there and said, quote, every 8 to 14 months, the body is constantly breaking down at the cellular level and rebuilding itself. A form of remodeling and housekeeping. The more you can keep up with the renovations, the more likely you are to always feel new. So it's continual remodeling going on with your cells. God planned it that way. But just think to have the Holy Spirit in the process of your life. That if they're sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on them and anoint them with oil, for the prayer of a righteous man avails much. That person can be healed. All the things the Holy Spirit brings to us that the world doesn't have to offer you. It's like you have a tool bag with a whole bunch of new tools you never had before. And that you can be renewed in the Spirit. You can be refreshed in the Spirit. You can be enlightened in the Spirit. You can have truth in the Spirit. Ideas will come to you. Radios will talk to you. God will do supernatural things that other people don't see. And God taught us this about himself with Elijah. Do you remember when Elijah had challenged 450 prophets of Baal? And the Bible said there were 400 prophets of the groves that sat at the table of Jezebel, that she financed 400 false prophets herself, 850 false prophets. Totally, he took on in one day, and he wiped them all out. God used this man to wipe them all out. But he was exhausted, and he went, and he sat under a broom bush, and an angel came and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I'm just resting." So he fell asleep, and he said, "No, take this need. It'll give you the strength to go for the next month of your life." Then Elijah went and he hid in a cave. God said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, there's so many bad things going on, and I'm the only one you have left." And he said, "That's not true. I have 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." You know, sometimes you may think it's all about you, and that's part of the frustration. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, you realize, wow, you're only part of something bigger that belongs to God, and you don't have to struggle anymore. But so God says, "I'm going to talk to you." And there was a huge earthquake, and the boulders started falling off the side of that mountain. Elijah stayed back in that cave, and he didn't hear God. And then a consuming fire came flying through the mountainside, and he stuck further back in the cave, but he didn't hear God. And then he heard a small, still voice, and he knew that was God. You see, the world has trained us through Hollywood to look for the spectacular. Unless it's the spectacular, it's not worth bothering about. And some of you feel very insignificant, that you are a nobody, that you have created or accomplished nothing. I'll tell you what. If you're a mom and you've raised children, you're a miracle worker. If you're a daddy and you showed up to work every day, yes, you moms can clap for yourself. That's fine. Now that's the guilt clap, because they knew they should have clapped to the others. But if you're a daddy and you showed up for work every day and got up every morning and came back and you paid every bill, you're a miracle worker. But we're told, unless you're somebody that's really outrageous and you have the big fancy limo taking you everywhere, that you're nobody. And Elijah learned that the Spirit of God comes in and he speaks very gently and softly. And other people may not hear the Spirit of God, but you have the ability to hear the Spirit of God. Somebody once said, "Do illiterate people get the full effect of alphabet soup?" I don't know. But I know a lot of people don't get the full effect of the Holy Spirit because they block him and they don't let him do what he's so good at doing. So it was expedient that Jesus left. Verse 8 is a very clear picture of the whole work of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. "And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment." And then what I like about the Bible, it's its own commentary. "Of sin, because they believe not on me." That's a great sin. That's the sin that would kill you ultimately. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So sin, righteousness, and judgment. His work is to the believer and to the non-believer. His work is to the church and to the world. He's working in both places. But without him in the world, no one would be pleading the cause of God today. There wouldn't be a church meeting anywhere. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no way you would have gotten up this morning, gotten dressed, and come to a church meeting unless the Holy Spirit had done it. There's just no way. It's only his power that does it. And it's his power that silently is at work within you, that his love can flow through you so you can love other people. And love covers a multitude of sin. So you are able to love with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life where it's impossible to love. That's the wonderful thing about him. He can go into the dark world and find a person like you and me and draw us out of that darkness and love us and forgiveness and give us forgiveness. But what we forget is that we're turning around and do that to somebody else. And many times Christians don't turn around and love, except they become critical. They become judgmental. But the Holy Spirit has brought love to us. And so we frustrate ourselves by not letting that love work. Without him in this world, we're lost. But the Holy Spirit works with individuals, and he works with masses of people, huge crowds of people. As we just saw in Chiapas, 140,000 people came to hear the gospel in the meetings. And I remember this one night, when I gave the invitation, it was like awe. There was silence over this huge stadium. And because the platform was on this side of the stadium, and then the quarter-mile track was there, and then the football field, and then the quarter-mile track, and then the fence, and then the stands all the way around, the people had to come out of the stands and met at the middle and then went one of two ways. And so thousands of people every night were coming to Jesus, but they came in such reverence. The silence was amazing. Imagine Qualcomm Stadium full with no noise. I mean, it was amazing. And I looked at both ways and said, what is going on? Holy Spirit. And I moved, for some reason, to the left side of the stage. My translator was there and said, is this not an amazing feat of the Holy Spirit? Is this not wonderful to see God moving on all these hearts? And I looked over to my right, and there was a man that had on a bright orange t-shirt. And I thought, what's Caltrans doing down here? And I looked over there, and I saw that guy, and said, that's Caltrans orange over there. And so I thought, there's something special about that guy. So I said to my translator, come over here. I want to talk to this guy. And he's about three rows back from the front of the stage. And I got down, and I asked him to come forward, shook his hand. Translator started talking to him. And I said, you're divorced from your family, aren't you? Yeah. Your life's not doing well. No. You're in trouble, aren't you? Yes. You need God, don't you? Yes. I had no idea where those questions came from or how penetrating they were, but this is what this man needed to hear. I saw a movement out of my left side, and I looked, and there was obviously a Christian woman that was a counselor jumping up and down and waving at me. And I had a Bible in one hand and started going like this, pointing at the lady in front. And I said, is your wife here tonight? And this lady kept saying, this is her. The wife had come from one side of the stadium all the way around without knowing that God had led her husband all the way around from the other side. I mean, how could that have happened out of thousands and thousands of people? So I said, well, let's get together here. They ended up getting together, ministered to him, prayed for him. They got counseled. They both accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Only the Holy Spirit could do that. How could God do that? That's because he's God. You and I couldn't do it. I mean, imagine if you were to choose. Okay, which woman is this guy in the orange shirt's wife? Over there, row 147, seat 94 on the left side. Bring her down. You know, do we have a deal or no deal? What's going on here? You know, we couldn't do it. He reproves. And I think that's wonderful when you realize that he comes and he goes to the Father for judgment because the prince of the world, don't forget the devil is here. Not in this meeting, but he's here in this world. He's called the prince of this world. There is a guy in charge of everything going on, and he's behind the scenes. Now, he has people worship him, and some of those people worship openly. San Diego County is a very large center for witchcraft. One time Channel 10 did a news article many years ago. They found out there were more witches in San Diego County than there were clergy, and more covens than there were churches. And I remember the guy that interviewed me on that program, he's still there at Channel 10, and he was having a horrible week that week when he was investigating this and reporting it. There is an evil spirit, too, and the prince of this world does control everything. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit to control you, that you are in this world, but you're not of this world. Your world is in a greater kingdom. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then, as he tells us what that is all about in closing, verse 12, he tells us that there are spiritual truths for us. I have yet many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them. We're too immature. They were too immature. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Notice that he's not going to put a ring in your nose or a choker chain around your neck. He's going to guide you. You know, in the Romans, they had so much pressure from the Caesars. And the Christians were murdered, literally, publicly. On the Sundays, the arenas were filled to watch Christians fight with bears and lions, gladiators. Christians were slaughtered. And they went underground and they hid in what's known today as the catacombs. And they couldn't have a life. But they had to keep away from the public eye because the public had turned on them and hated them and blamed them for everything. And it says here that there's more he could say and there's more he could do, but we're actually unable to bear it. But he will send the Holy Spirit who will show us things to come. That's very important. Falling in love with the Holy Spirit allows the work of God and his Spirit to accomplish things that man can't accomplish, education can't accomplish. That God can make you into the man or into the woman, into the image of his Son, with the Spirit of truth living inside of you. You can't fight it. You can't struggle with it. If you feel the struggle, you're probably feeling Galatians 5, that the Spirit lusts after the flesh, and the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the two are contrary one to another, and you cannot accomplish what you want to accomplish. And you feel this thing going on inside. To know good and not to do it is sin. And St. Paul said, the good that I should do, I don't do. And the bad that I shouldn't be doing is exactly what I am doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever feel like that? I'm supposed to be a Christian person. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the bondage of this flesh? That's the struggle you feel. You're trying to be the Christian. But your flesh is very powerful. You've been with it for many years. It doesn't want to die to self. You're trying. But when you stop and you let the Holy Ghost do the work, things are blessed. Who will deliver you from this flesh? Paul went on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that love the Lord, that are called according to his will and purpose. You know, you probably beat yourself up. You talk yourself down. You say you're a failure. You're a loser. I'm quitting. I'm dropping out. This marriage isn't going to make it. I'm filing bankruptcy. And you give up. Who wins? The prince of this world. But when you stop and say, Holy Spirit, who's going to deliver me from myself? He's going to tell you, Jesus Christ. And that if you'll let Jesus Christ truly be who he is, you're going to see everything completely different. And your life is going to be blessed with peace and joy and love in the presence of God. The Comforter is a guide. As many as are led by the Spirit are called the children of God. Not driven by the Spirit, led. He's a guide. Step right this way. Come over here. Turn left. Turn right. Do this. Oh, I've never done this before. Just step out in faith. Faith? What's that? Well, start reading your Bible and you'll start having more of it. Okay. And that's how the Holy Spirit will guide you. Finally, he said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Now, if you're saying, yippee, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. He's not going to show you those things to come. But he can show you the future. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation speaks about the future. He can give you warnings for your family, for safety, for protection. Had we not done this and been there 2 minutes earlier, our car would have been in that accident. I remember a New York police officer at Ground Zero one Sunday night. His neck was in a brace. He had a uniform on with his medals, but he was wearing non-uniform pants. His arm was in a sling, and it was all strapped. And I saw him looking like he was in agony. And I think he had Levi's on, so he was out of uniform. But he had the uniform on so he could be in behind the police tape. They had a lot of people at Ground Zero that weren't who they said they were, that they were arresting. And there were various reasons that they were there. So I walked over to that man and I said, boy, you look like you got really banged up. Were you here when the buildings went down? He said, yeah, I was. And I said, I notice you're not in full uniform. Are you okay? He said, well, I just came from the hospital. And I cannot leave this place. And I said, well, that's one of the great dangers of working in an emergency situation is that you get addicted to the problem and you just hang out here and it's going to wear you out. And he said, no, I'm okay. I talked to this man for 45 minutes wondering who he really was, knowing that he had a gun on him and there was something strange about him. So I saw another chaplain and I said, would you come over and talk to this guy? And as I walked by, I said, tell me what you think he's really doing here. And I walked away and started talking to some other people. About 20 minutes later, this man started walking right towards the rubble into where the pit was, below where all the building was stacked up. And I thought, uh-oh, this guy's up to something. I thought he was going to pull his gun out and shoot himself or shoot other people. So I ran up to him, grabbed him by the shoulders, said, hey, stop. Hey, where are you going? I thought we had an agreement that you weren't going to hurt yourself or you wouldn't hurt anybody. And I said to him, what is this all about? Come on, be honest. And he fell into my chest. He just, boom. And I wrapped my arms. He just sobbed like a baby. And I said, what's really going on here? He said, a month ago, I came home from work. I think he worked in the Bronx, rough area. And there was a note on the table. My wife had left, never to come back, with my best friend. She didn't ever want to talk to me or see me. Admitted she'd been having an affair with his best friend for quite some time. His first reaction was, I'll find them both, I'll kill them. I said, well, what are you doing right now? Things are not looking good right now. And he said, well, I went to the hospital, they fixed me up, and as at the hospital, I heard on a radio call, the fire department had found this man, my friend. I said, and, thinking he was going to do something violent, he said, I came here with the wrong intentions, but I want to walk over to the edge where they're going to lower the basket with his body, and I'm going to stand at attention, and I'm going to salute him. He's a hero. And what he and my wife did to hurt me is nothing compared to the heroic deeds that he did to help people save their lives. Now, I think only the Holy Spirit could do that. I was ready to put on a bulletproof vest over my head, over my legs, everywhere, and duck to this guy and say, Mickey Stonier, go talk to this guy. You'll like this guy. He's a very funny fellow. There are times that you and I are protected, driving down the freeway, and we don't even know it. There are times when things are going on in the building you're in, and the Holy Spirit says, you're not coming down this hallway. You're protected. There are times when the devil has a plan to destroy your marriage and everything you stand for, but the Holy Spirit is there. He will guide you. He'll guide you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So this week, take every opportunity you have to see the future with the Holy Spirit and the things to come. Take every opportunity to see the outcome and say, that was the Holy Spirit. Wow. And take the opportunity to see as he sees. He sees God's kingdom. And he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about the things that he's heard in heaven. And he wants you to be on the cutting edge. And he wants you to be the winner, not the loser. He's going to guide you. He's not going to shake you. You didn't pray today, you stinking little rat, you. People get so condemned. It's like the ad. You ever read the ads? I read the ads just for comedy. Found. Dirty white dog. Looks like a rat. Been out a while. Better be a reward for this nasty little thing. No. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known. We don't understand it all, but the day is coming when you're going to look into a mirror. It looks a little dark right now. And the day is coming when you're going to be this new person. And the Lord is going to be standing there and say, enter into the joy of the Lord. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Lord, we are so grateful to you that we don't need to struggle with our lives because our lives are hid in God in Christ Jesus. Help us learn that lesson. Lord, we know that even when there are struggles, there are setbacks, disappointments, anxiety and frustration, that we can always go to the Paracletus, we can go to the Comforter, and we can cry out, God, send your Spirit to help me right now. And that Spirit can guide us to the truth of any situation and any matter. So I'd pray for these beautiful men and women and their children right now, that you would send the Comforter upon them. You would allow the Comforter to be in their homes. That the Comforter would be in their businesses and at their jobs. That when people come around them or enter their doorstep, they'll know, oh, this is a sweet feeling. Lord, that their lives would become sweet fragrances because of the Holy Spirit who comforts them. May you bless them, Lord, in a way to see what is coming. May you help them be encouraged to know that the truth is living within them when they ask Jesus into their heart. May you help all that struggle today trying to be somebody that they're not or that they think they're supposed to be in the eyes of other people. May you just let that battle just cease right now. May you bring tremendous encouragement to those that are overwhelmed or burdened with life right now. May they know that the Comforter will bring every good thing from you in heaven. And Holy Spirit, we're asking your forgiveness that we don't always rely on you. But we pray from this day forward, you'd make yourself manifest to us so that we could be filled with the truth of God and the Spirit of God. Bless these people, Lord, and let each one of them know that they've made a new friend today. A friend that just wants to tell them what God's thinking. A friend that wants to inspire them. A friend that wants to warn them. A friend that wants to guard them. A friend that wants to protect them. A friend that wants to introduce them to new friends. A friend that is always thinking the best and has all the answers and can see around the corner and over the walls. A friend that will guide us into green pastures and get us beside still waters. Comforter, may you come and wrap your love around these people's souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen.